Turn with me to the book of Acts. Somebody lost the back of their watch. There's a watch, the back off of a watch. Looks like. If you need it, it's laying up here. Anybody lost it? All right. I think we've made all the announcements we need to make. Acts chapter number 4. Somebody asked, I'm feeling a lot better. I go back to the doctor this coming up Wednesday. They're going to do x-rays, but everything's all right. I know it is. Amen? I appreciate you that have been praying. Acts chapter number 4, we'll start out reading verse number 1. The Bible says, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, Lord, I love you. And I thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, loving each one of us, Lord, where we were, where we are. God, thank you, Lord, for looking past our faults, our failures. Lord, our sins and our shortcomings, God, I thank you looking beyond our faults. And, Lord, you saw our need and you loved us, Lord, while we were yet sinners. God, we're thankful for that this morning. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, for the next little while. We need your touch, Lord. We try to preach. God, I pray you'd give me unction and power. Lord, I pray you'd touch me physically, not only physically, but most of all spiritually. God, I pray you'd give me the words to say. God, I pray, Lord, that they would fall on hearing ears. Lord, not ears that are hard and dull, but, Lord, ears that are willing and wanting to hear the Word of God. I pray, God, if there be some lost soul here this morning, God, I pray you'd help them to see so great a salvation that you've offered. I pray, God, you'd save souls before it be too late. God, I pray you'd help them to get in. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here in Acts chapter number 4, in the context, in chapter number 3, you know, Peter and John had went up to the temple and there was a man there lame. The Bible said he was lame from his mother's womb, who was carried, and the Bible talked about he was there at the gate, and he saw Peter and John, and the Bible said in verse 3, they was about to go into the temple, asked in alms, and Peter looked upon him, he said, he fastened his eyes upon him with John, and he said, look on us. And do you know how Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible talked about how they took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and the Bible said, immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up, y'all listening? Immediately, not 12 steps, and leaping up and walked and stood and walked and entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. And so here we are set in the context, man. The people begin to question. They begin to come down. And now in chapter 4, Peter and John are facing persecution. Persecution that the Bible had taught was going to come to them for doing
the work of the Lord. And Jesus had already told him it was going to happen, and here it is happening. And so here in chapter number 4, Peter says, man, if you're questioning us about this man, if this is what you're asking about, I've got an answer for you. And so they're asking Peter and John, you know, by what name, by what power have you done this? There in verse number 7. And the Bible says in verse number 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. You know, he wasn't mincing no words. He wasn't trying to see if, you know, could I speak to these people that way? No, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he had a holy boldness, and he began to preach to them exactly what God put on his heart. And he began to say, this is what you've done. In verse number 9, he said, if we be this day be examined of the good deed. Man, he said, what we did was a good thing. They thought it was a bad thing. He said, it's a good thing. He said, if we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole. Watch this, verse 10. Be it known unto you and all, to you all, every one of you, and to all of the people of Israel, just in case they wasn't all there. He said, basically, I want everybody to know what I'm about to say. He said, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Now listen, now he's looking at these people that put him on the cross. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, and he said, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Peter said, there's no doubt about how it happened. Peter said, it wasn't me, it wasn't my silver, it wasn't my gold. I don't have any. It's the power of God that made this man whole. But watch verse number 12. He said, neither is there salvation. Not just healing, but salvation. Are y'all with me? Healing's a good thing, but healing's not the main thing. Physical healing's not the main thing. There's a lot of people that's caught up this morning on physical healing. God can heal. Now, He don't heal because somebody slaps you in the forehead and says, be healed. No, that's the way you train dogs. Hey, God's not like that. Are you with me? God can heal. He can heal who He wants to heal. I believe that today. Hey, but watch this. As a matter of fact, God does heal. And whether He heals in this life or in the next life, He's healing.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes His healing is not to heal you in this physical realm today, but it's to take you home to a glorified body where you'll never take sickness or heartache or death again.
Yeah.
That's ultimate healing. God is a healing God. He's got the power. But verse 12, he said, neither is there salvation. I like that. Man, it's exciting. Listen, we get all excited. People, you know, in the general realm of the life in which we live, people get excited when they see physical healing. Physical healing is great, man. I've seen some people that had cancer and come back later on, and doctors, we just don't understand it. But, man, that's gone. Them tumors are gone. Well, we understand it. We understand that an almighty, omnipotent God, He's in control of everything, amen? And that, hey, if He wants to remove a tumor, He can remove a tumor, amen? We believe that. I believe that. I hope you believe that. You ought to believe that. But let me say something. I know something more exciting than watching legs grow. Amen. I know something way more exciting than watching tumors disappear.
Right.
I know something way more exciting than any physical healing. Watch it. I know something more exciting than watching somebody get up out of the grave and walk. It's when Jesus Christ saves somebody, and changes them and makes them a brand new creature. Hey, when they by faith, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and they're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. Can I say that's the greatest miracle that's ever been. That's the greatest miracle that'll ever be. The greatest miracle is not somebody, having a heart condition that their heart condition's fixed. No, not unless you're talking about a spiritual heart condition.
Right.
The greatest miracle, this morning, it's not the fact that you had a tumor or whatever. I mean, those are great. Listen, those are great. We rejoice and we are excited because God can heal physically. But I will say, more importantly, God can save spiritually. Yeah. Hey, the greatest miracle that God will ever do is to save a sinner, from their sins and make them a brand new creature. He takes you from being dead in your trespasses and sins and brings you into life, life eternal, life abundant. He takes you from being a child of Satan, a child of the devil, one who walks in darkness, and He makes you a child of the King, a child of God Almighty, one who's now walking in the light as He's in the light. Man, what a great miracle. He raised you from death and pass you underlined, amen. I'm excited about that this morning. But here, I want to give you a few things this morning. I want to talk about some truths concerning salvation. Just a couple simple truths about salvation this morning. Won't be deep, won't be long, but I want to share some truths about salvation with you this morning that I think they're nuggets. I think they're sweet. I think it's something for us to know. I believe there are some truths that we ought to cherish, that we ought to rejoice in. I think about calling some sweet truths concerning salvation. Some sweet truths. You say, what is salvation? Well, he said it in verse 12, neither is salvation in any other. Salvation, the word salvation has the idea of deliverance or preservation or safety, to provide safety. It is a possession that believers, y'all believers, yep. Not baptized, not tithers, not workers, but believers.
Amen.
But to him that believeth,
right.
Believers, it's a present possession of believers. Is what I'm trying to say. Hey, salvation is not something I'm working up to. It's not something we'll get to heaven one day. There'll be a general resurrection and God will weigh out my good and he'll weigh out my bad. If my good outweighs my bad, I'll have salvation. No, honey. You have missed the Bible on the boat. Amen. Somewhere along the line, you've missed it because it doesn't matter whether let me just help you out. Your good's not going to outweigh your bad. Hey, but God's good will outweigh my good and my bad. And the Bible says God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. That's the only way you'll get in. It's for your wickedness and your sin to be placed on the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was at the cross. Amen. And then for his righteousness to be placed off of his account onto your account. So that when God sees you, he don't look at your sin. He doesn't see you, but that he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how can I do that? Hey, by grace through faith. Hey, by calling on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. So salvation is a present possession of all believers. Salvation also speaks of a future event. For the sum benefits of all the blessings which every Christian, every believer will enjoy when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. So we have been saved, listen to me this morning, we have been saved right now, presently, from the penalty of sin. Absolutely. If you've been saved, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, called out in repentance and confessing the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've confessed Him as Lord, and you've been saved, you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, you have presently been saved from the penalty of sin. But one day, you've got something to look forward to, because one day there's coming wrath of God being poured out on this earth like never before. Man, there's coming a great tribulation period. But one day we'll experience the salvation of being preserved from that wrath, from those things. We will be preserved. We will be saved from hell. We'll be saved from the wrath to come. Amen. So it's got some future blessings. Man, I thank God for salvation. You ought to thank God for salvation this morning. I'm just happy to rejoice. Hey, knowing I've been delivered. And knowing, hey, I've been redeemed. Knowing, hey, this morning that I've been preserved. I'm in safety because I'm in Christ. Amen. I'll give you just a few short truths. Sweet truths. Valuable truths. Let me say number one right here out of this verse, verse 12. Number one, I want you to notice the single source of salvation. The single source of salvation. Peter says to these people of Israel, these leaders now, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. You see that? Neither is there salvation in any other. Now, he's talking about Jesus. If you go back to verse number 2, he says, they're being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, they're preaching, Peter's preaching, and these leaders, man, and these Sadducees and the captain of the temple, man, they're upset. They're grieved. See, the Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the miracles. They didn't believe that once you died, you'd be resurrected. They didn't believe Jesus was resurrected. The Sadducees did not believe in the bodily resurrection, and so they were Sadducee. Amen? All right, but that's the description of what they believed. They did not believe in the miraculous. And so Peter begins to preach to them through Jesus, verse 2 says, the resurrection of the dead. That's hard for them to deny the fact that this man Jesus had been resurrected, because just a few short days ago, these very people that Peter's talking to, they had witnessed it. They saw it. Peter's an eyewitness. Some of these people, they saw him hanging on the cross. They saw him die. They watched it happen. And now Peter's preaching through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And in verse number 10, he said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all." So you're saying, what are you saying? I'm saying Peter's telling them that salvation is coming from a single source. By Jesus and Jesus alone. There's a lot of people this morning, they're looking for salvation in a church membership. They're looking for salvation in a list of good works. They're looking for salvation in the sacraments of the church. They're looking for salvation in how many times they've been to church in the last year. They're looking for salvation in the water they were baptized in. Y'all with me this morning? They're looking for salvation in the good things they've done. They're looking for salvation in their attendance or in the scriptures they can quote. They're looking for salvation in the money they put in the offering. Hey, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none."
Right.
Are y'all with me? Hey, can I say there's a single source of salvation? I thank God salvation. I'm glad Peter was preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection right here in Acts chapter number 4. Hadn't been too long. Hey, salvation, hey, is coming from believing the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection
right.
of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Some people say, "Well, I like positive preaching." Well, the death and the burial, that's pretty negative. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Y'all with me? I mean, that's negative. Death and burial. How many would agree that's negative? But hey, the negative makes the positive so much the more, hey, better. Hey, the death and the burial, man, he's gone. But up from the grave he arose. Hey, man, we don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a God in the grave. We don't serve a statue. We don't serve some monument. Look up in here. We serve a living Savior. Up from the grave he arose. Hey, the resurrection, amen, is valuable. Hey, it's positive. It makes the gospel come to life, amen. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. You say, "Well, why did he have to die?" Hey, because you was a sinner. Because I was a sinner. The Bible said all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Yeah. For us by death, for us by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. And God knew we were a sinner, and he had to send his only begotten Son, the only one that could ever be the mediator, because the Bible said there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Are y'all with me this morning? The Bible said he gave himself, he gave his life to be a ransom for all, to be for many to be testified in due time. He's the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. He is the Savior. Are y'all with me? There's only one. What I'm trying to say this morning. Hey, we stood in need. We stood. I'm telling you this morning, if you're lost this morning, if you've never trusted Christ, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you. Hey, it doesn't matter how many times you've been to church. It doesn't matter how long you've been a member of the church. It doesn't matter if you're a deacon or a deacon's wife or a preacher or a preacher's wife. It doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, fat, skinny. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, where you've been. Hey, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you've never trusted Him, you need to be saved.
Right.
There's only one way to be saved. There's only one person that has been dead, buried, and raised again by the power of the Holy Ghost,
right,
hey, for your sins. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:3, that's the gospel. Paul talked about how, moreover, brother, he said, "I preach unto you the gospel." He said, "I deliver unto you the gospel." He said, "I deliver unto you how Jesus, how he was crucified, how he died for your sins according to the Scripture, and how he was buried, and how he rose again the third day according to the Scripture." That's the gospel. Well, Isaiah said it like this, Isaiah chapter 43, in verse number 11, Isaiah said, wrote of the Jehovah, and he said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There is no Savior. There's only one. There is no Savior. Well, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." I mean, that's pretty simple to understand. How many of y'all, took at least English through the fifth grade? You understand, hey, I am the way. The way. Y'all with me? The way. Specific. That's a definite article. I am the way. It defines one of a kind. I am the way. The truth. The life. No man. That is absolutely nobody. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. He's the way. He's the single source. He is the only source of salvation. He's the only source of forgiveness for your sin. He's the only source of remission of your sin. Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 43. Here it is again. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That is the release, the pardon, the forgiveness, hey, of sins. Hey, it only comes through belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Single source. There's a single source. There's a lot of people who says, well, I believe all religions is, all religions is just, they're the same. They're just have their own little ways of describing it, defining it, and they're all working to the same place. Man, that's foolish. They don't even teach the same truths, much less have the same outcome. Are y'all with me? I was reminded of Curtis Hudson, used to be editor of the Soul Lord. Curtis Hudson said, one day a lady came to him and said, preacher, you're always preaching about this. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way. She said, well, that's kind of like this. If I go from my house to the post office, I can take a right and go down this road and come around and come in on that side. Or I can take a left and I can go around and come in on this side. Or I can go straight and go down through the middle of town. And he said, hey, ma'am, hold on. You got one problem with that. We're not going to the post office. Hey, can I help you this morning? We're not headed to the post office. We're looking to get to heaven. And the only way for you to get to heaven, the only way to have forgiveness of sin, the only way for you to be saved, the only way for you to be forgiven, the only way for you to have redemption and remission of sin, the only way for you to ever escape the fiery pit of hell and to go to the eternal abode of God Almighty in heaven is for you to go through Jesus Christ. It's not a Muslim way. It's not an Islam way. It's not a Buddhist way. Are y'all with me? It's not the Hindu's way. Hey, look up here. It's not a Baptist way. It's not a Methodist way. It's not a baptism way. Are y'all with me? It's not the Presbyterian way. It's not the white people's way. Or the black people's way. Or the yellow people's way. Hey, it's the Jesus way or the no way. Jesus said, I am the way. The way. You understand? The way. Jesus said, I am the way. If you don't go the Jesus way, you don't go. You understand? Salvation comes through a singular source. Salvation, some people say, well, you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus, and then you've got to be baptized, and then you've got to do good. Hold on. You ain't got to do nothing. Just bad English, good truth. You ain't got to do nothing but confess your sin and call on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and repent of your sin and turn to Him. And He said, whosoever cometh to me, he said, I will nowise cast out. Right. Amen. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. S-A-V-E-D, saved. Amen. So there's a singular source. You need to understand this morning, you're not going to heaven because you've been raised in church. You need to understand this morning, you're not going to heaven because you've been baptized. Right. You need to understand, you're not going to heaven because you're a Baptist. I'll say it again. You're not going to heaven because you're a Baptist. You're not going to heaven because you're white. You're not going to heaven because you're an American. You're not going to heaven because you're from the South. There's only one way to heaven. It's a sin. Neither is there salvation in any other. Hey, look. It's not in a preacher. There's a lot of people that will follow a preacher, and when the preacher quits or the preacher falls, they're done. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own God-given eyeballs. Salvation is not in a man. It's not in a movement. It's not in a monument. Salvation is in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't have salvation. Clear cut. Neither is there salvation in any other. Let me say this morning, I thank God salvation is in a singular source. And you say, well, why? Because here's the reason why. I'm thankful for that. Number one reason why is because There's no second guessing. If you know salvation is through Jesus or you don't get it, you know where to go for salvation. Now, if you say, well, I could work this way and I could go that way and I could go that way, and we might all end up at the same point. Hold on. How are you going to be sure? The Bible has revealed to you the true way, the only way, the singular source of salvation. Now, I understand that's offensive to some. But the reason it's offensive to them is because they're not in. If you're saved this morning, you like this. Amen? If you're saved this morning, you're glad that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. We could just preach right here for about 2 hours because we're living in a day where everybody wants to be politically correct. I can't even say the word. Makes me just cotton picking mad. Hey, it started in the media. Now it's in the church pulpits. Everybody wants to be politically correct. Hogwash with politically correct. Let's be biblically correct.
Right.
I'm not afraid. Listen, I'm not picking fights. I'm not going out there. But everywhere you study the book of Acts and you read where Peter and Paul, where they went, man, they were beat, they were thrown in prison, they were persecuted because they preached the truth that the mainstream people didn't like. The religious people didn't like it. But nowadays, we got to make everybody comfortable and make everybody like us. Listen, like me, love me, hey, whatever you want to do. But Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. He's the single source. He's the only way you'll be saved. And if you don't come the Jesus way, honey, you ain't going. There's many people trusting a lot of things this morning. But let me say, he said, neither is there salvation in any other. He talked about the death, the burial, and resurrection. Only Jesus qualified. He talks about in verse number 10, he said, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, he said by the name of Jesus, not the name of Muhammad, not the name of Hare Krishna, not the name of Joseph Smith, not the name of anybody else, not the name of some prophet, not the name of the Pope, no, but by the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Now, he's getting real specific. Can you imagine? We talk about Peter and how he opened his mouth. Sometimes it was bad, but right here was a good. I'd like to see it, Brother. I'd like to see him pointing at him and saying, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Pointing at him. Whom ye crucified. Whom God raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Verse 11, he said, this is, watch this, this is the stone. Y'all see that? He didn't say this is a stone. Y'all understand the means, it designates the one, the stone, which was set at night of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. See, this source is a definite source. It's sure enough the one. Y'all with me? But not only that, it is a distinct source. Jesus is different than all others. You can go over there, wherever they buried them, all of them, Buddhists and Hindus and Muhammad. And you can go over there. You can dig them up. If you can find their graves, you can dig them up and you go find bones. You with me? I mean, you will. I think it's Stalin. If my memory, there's people that worship Stalin, Joseph Stalin. Hey, you can go over there and they got Stalin, I think it's Stalin, his body in a glass. They've tried to preserve it. Little by little, it's breaking down, but they've got his body in. That, you know, that the Egyptians, they claim they got mummies over there and different things. But let me say that you can go over to Israel. You can go outside of Jerusalem, inside Jerusalem. You can go all throughout Israel and you can get your DNA test and you can get your all kinds of beams. And I mean, you can go in there and you can radar and you can take every test you got and you can search. Watch it. You can search Israel high and low. You with me? And I promise you, you're not going to find one bone of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can you be so confident? Because he's not there. Because I'm saying 2,000 years ago he was born. Hey, he lived a sinless life. He died, but he didn't stay dead. Hey, after 72 hours, hey, after 3 days and 3 nights, up from the grave he arose. And he ain't in the tomb no more. Hey, he's distinct from all others. There's a lot of different religions. There's a lot of different people that's claimed to be a Messiah or claimed to be this or a great leader. But hey, I'm telling you, hey, the proof stops at the grave. He's different. He's distinct. There ain't nobody like him. He's the Savior. He's the only one that went to the grave and got by. Muhammad, hey, went to the grave, he stayed there. Are y'all with me? He's distinct, but let me say this. He's despised. This single source is despised. He's despised. Man, Peter and them, man, they're being persecuted right here in chapter number 4. Verse number 11, he said, "This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders." In other words, it's despised. Man, they didn't want the Jewish people. You with me this morning? The Jewish people didn't like Jesus. John 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They despised him. They were looking for a king to come in with a horse and a mighty army and to overthrow. That's their Messiah they were looking for. They were looking for the Messiah to come in and overthrow the Roman soldiers and overthrow the Roman Empire and to put himself upon a throne and to rule. That's what they were looking for. Hey, he's coming like that, but he ain't been here yet like that. But it ain't over yet. He's coming. But the first time he came in, not as a great king, but he came in as a lowly lamb. Let me say the single source is it's a definite source. It's a distinct source, but it's a despised source. There's people today that despise it. You stand up today, mainstream media, and preach Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and they're going to laugh at you, they're going to spit at you, they're going to call you crazy. They used to call you fanatic. That'd be like bragging on you now. I mean, they're going to call you crazy. They want to lock you up. They look at us. Can I help y'all out? We're not in the majority, Brother Steve. I dare say where you work, you're not in the majority. Mainstream United States thinks these kind of people that we're here, they think we're crazy. Because we claim Jesus is the only way. Now, don't you think that God's big enough to let people in? Billy, there's been a lot of people, I'm sure, saved under Billy Graham's ministry in his younger days. But even in his older days, he's tried to open the door to this. Anybody, you know, God's going to, if they've never heard the name Jesus. Now, if they ain't heard the name Jesus, they ain't saved.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Right.
Neither is there salvation in any other.
Right.
All right? It's a single source, but let me say this. I said I wasn't going to preach long. It's a sure stipulation. I see a sure stipulation about salvation. Keep reading. Neither is there salvation in any other. Watch this. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Must. That's a sure stipulation. See, you as a sinner, I as a sinner, all sin comes short of the glory of God. Every last one of us is a sinner. And if we're a sinner, we need to be saved. Hey, because of our sin. Hey, we're in the bondage of sin. Hey, let me say to you, you're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. It's your nature. A dog's not a dog because it barks. A dog barks because it's a dog. Are y'all with me? And you sin because you're a sinner. You've got a sin nature. You was born with it. I was born with it. And guess what? Because of that sin nature, I needed a Savior. I need somebody to redeem me. I need somebody to change me. I need somebody to forgive me. I need somebody to cleanse me. And so that's what Jesus does. Let me say this. Salvation, hey, is a sure stipulation. You must be. Must be. It's not a maybe so. It's not a might. It's not a you ought to be. No, it's a must. Everybody understand what must means? Must, hey, must designates it's necessary. Or that it's a requirement, or it designates necessity, must be. He's talking to the rulers. He says to the priest and to the captain of the temple and to the rulers of the day and that day. He says to these rulers and elders and scribes, hey, rulers, renegades, rejects, rednecks, it doesn't matter who you are. He said, you must be saved. Man, he's talking to an elite crowd on one side. He's talking to those up the up, man, they could do away with him. And he says, whereby ye must be saved. We must be. That's a necessity. Can I say to you this morning, Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Y'all all right? You must be born again. You must be born again. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you came from. The new birth, being saved, is required. It's not a good option. It's a requirement. It's a necessity. But let me say to you, it's non-negotiable. But let me say, not only is it required, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful that this stipulation is not only a required stipulation, but it's a revealed stipulation. Say, so what do you mean? Well, you know the Bible says over in Romans chapter number 10, it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And all throughout the Bible points at this one Jesus as the way to salvation. You must be born again. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. Hey, Jesus Christ, He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll go in and out, find good path. Hey, Jesus is the only one.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Right.
You say, how do you know? Because it's been revealed to me through the pages of Holy Scripture.
Yeah.
The Bible points to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. You don't have to guess this morning, is Jesus the one? When I was younger, I remember riding up and down the road. I had friends that was Mormons. I had friends that was this, different things in school. And I was wondering, well, how do we know? How do we know that they're wrong and we're right? How do we know? And I wasn't even saved. I'm beginning to have these things. You know what? When God saved me, He showed me something. Here's how we know. It's because the truth is revealed right here. Yeah. Right here's the truth in the King James Bible. And He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And when you compare the Word of Scriptures, when you compare the Word of God, y'all understand this morning that the Word of God, written over a period of between 1,500 to 2,000 years by, I think, about 40 different authors, some right around 40 different authors, 13 different countries, 3 different continents. Y'all with me? One theme. About one person. Man, there's a bloodline runs all the way through. Are y'all with me? You say, that's just a coincidence. Well, you believe that if you want to. I'm glad that the sure stipulation of salvation, it's required, but I'm glad it's revealed. I'm glad Jesus, hey, God doesn't play tricks. You know, it's not a mystery how to be saved. He wrote it right there in the Scriptures. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not hard. Hey, the hard part's getting past that conviction and being willing to give up that sin. That part's hard, man. Hey, what is the Lord told Paul on the road to Damascus when Saul started. He said, Saul, it's hard. He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Oh, yeah, it's hard when you're fighting conviction. I talked to a young lady this week that I used to preach to some at my other church, and she got saved this week. She said, man, I've been fighting this for a long time. She said, I was crying every night. She said, I was losing friends because all I could talk about was my problems, and I didn't know what was going on. And come find out, she said, what it was. She said, I wasn't sure I was saved. And she said, I was just miserable for weeks on top of weeks. And she said, hey, she said, Thursday night, she said, I got saved. She said, I called on the name of the Lord and asked Him to save me. Told Him I was a sinner, and I wanted to save. And she said, I ain't never known peace like this. Can I say, it's easy to get saved. It's hard going through the conviction. But once you give up your will and say, hey, here I am. Save me. Oh, hey, it ain't nothing hard about it. Whosoever's called the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank God for that. And He reveals that to us in the pages of the Word of God. But let me hurry up and say this. Not only do we have a single source of salvation, not only do we see the sure stipulations, but we see this. I see in salvation the sweet satisfaction of salvation. I mean, salvation didn't hurt me a bit. Y'all with me? Watch. He said, neither is the salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Y'all see that? We must be saved. Now, some of y'all is wondering, man, when this guy going to be done? If you can't get excited about this, you need to be saved. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you can't get excited about ready to run the aisle, there's something wrong, bad wrong. That word saved, S-A-V-E-D, that's an awesome word. It means to save or to keep safe, to make keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger and destruction, from destitution, to deliver from the penalties of messianic judgment, to save from sin. Hey, can I say, when you got saved, or when you get saved, God declares you righteous. He justifies you. That is, He saves you immediately from the penalty of sins in your past. Hey, He says, declared righteous. You're saved, hey, presently from the past penalty of sin. But he also, every day of your Christian life, while you're walking with him, ever since you've been saved, he is daily saving you from the power of present sin. Hey, you have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit living within you that not only do you have the truth that God saved you from the penalty of sin, but every day he's saving you from the power of sin. And if you yield your body to him and you resist the devil, yield your body to the Holy Spirit, hey, he saves you from the power of sin. But thank God, Brother Robbie, I'm looking forward to this. Hey, not only one day is he going to save me from the penalty, not only one day is he going to save me from the power, but one of these days he's going to call me home. Hey, whether it's by the grave and the upper undertaker or by the rapture and the upper taker, one day God's going to call me home. And not only is he going to save me from the penalty, not only from the power, but one day he's going to save me from the very presence of sin. Hey, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to when I say goodbye, world, goodbye. I'm glad this morning that this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Every day I fight temptations. I fight struggles. I fight battles. Hey, you do too. If you live in the same kind of world I live in, we see things, we hear things, and there's temptations and struggles all around us. But one day, thank God, to God be the glory. We're leaving out of this world. We're going to drop sin, robe of flesh. We're going to, hey, drop this sinful nature and leave it behind. We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to heaven living with him. There'll be no more penalty. There'll be no more power. And thank God there won't even be any more presence of sin.
Amen.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Well, don't get too excited. I'm thank God.
Amen.
Well, this satisfaction is received, not earned. It's relished, not endured. I don't understand people who say they're saved and they never smile. They never have a song in their heart. Never have a song on their lips. Never have any pep in their chest. I'm saved. Gloom, despair. Hey, what are you saved from? I mean, really. Think about it. If you're saved, you don't have to go to hell. That's enough shouting now to kingdom come. I mean, I know everybody's different, but every once in a while, man, hey, a rooster won't crow in his own barn. I'd choke him and yank his head off and make chicken and dumplings out of him. Amen? If you can't shout in church and get excited once in a while about the good grace of God and the blood that was shed, I wonder, man. I'll be honest, I ain't your God. I ain't your judge, but I'm wondering. Something wrong. If you can't get excited, then you ain't got to go to hell. You understand? Hell awaits those, the lake of fire awaits those that reject Christ. But if you receive them, he said, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You understand that you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live this life alone. You've got a comforter, man. Another, he said, I've seen another comforter. And he sent another comforter, and the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. You don't have to fight the struggles and the temptations and the battles and things alone. And guess what? You've got all that in heaven to look forward to. Man, I'm telling you, you got something to be excited about. We got something to relish. We got something we'll have to endure. There's a lot of people that's enduring the Christian life. If anyone makes it, surely I will. I say, man, think about the goodness of God. Think about you was, hey, you was lost and you was undeserving. You was in, hey, on your way to hell. You was living like hell, looking like hell, smelling like hell, going to hell. And God of heaven came by your way and in grace and in mercy, he called your name and he pulled you up. Like the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he said, he placed my feet upon a rock and established my goings and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord.
Amen.
You ought to think about that, where you was before you got saved, where you was headed, where you could be, where you deserved to be. Some of you this morning sitting here, you know good and well in your honest opinion and in your honest truth in your heart. You know good and well you don't deserve this morning to be sitting on a church pew around people that love you, listening to the Word of God. Hey, you know good and well that, hey, people like me deserves to be in hell fried like a piece of bacon this morning. I deserve that this morning. You deserve that this morning. But God in grace and mercy came by. Thank God He saved me. S-A-V-E-D. Delivered, saved, set free. Hey, free from the bondage, free from the penalty, free from the past, free from the future. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there's some sweet truths about salvation. I thank God. Not in any other, no other name. You must be saved. Must be. Are you saved this morning? I'm not asking if you're a Baptist or if you go to church, if you're a good person, or if you're good to your wife, if you're good to your husband. I'm asking you, has there been a time, has there been a place where you called on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith? I'm not asking you, you know, did you need Him to help you pay your bill? No, no, no. Everybody has them problems. Well, I'm sick. God save. No, hold on. I'm asking you, have you ever repented of your sin by faith, trusted that Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins? And if you'd have been the only one, He'd have died for you and your sin. Have you ever called on Him and asked Him to forgive you? And to save you, to make you a new creature. Are you saved this morning? Darkness came, that old man's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain open, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. So praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon His throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Conscience of the deep pollution, sinners wander in the night. Though they hear the shepherd calling, still they fear to face the light. This the tender consolation that can melt the heart of stone. This sweet balm of Gilead reaches deeper than the stain has gone. So praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon His throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. When with holy thrones we're standing in the presence of the great King, and our souls are lost in wonder while the white road choir sing, then we'll praise the name of Jesus with the millions round the throne. Praise Him for the blood that reaches deeper than the stain has gone. So praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon His throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Heads bowed and eyes closed all across the auditorium. We're standing. The pianist is beginning to play. I say praise the Lord for full salvation. You ought to thank God you're saved this morning. Maybe you're saved. You just want to gather around the altar. Thank the Lord. for salvation. Thank you.